This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Good Trouble. Tonight, we're going to be unfiltered. We're going to be covering season 2, episode 4, with one of our favorite characters of the show joining us, plus the writer of tonight's episode, so do not go too far.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, thank you for joining our Good Trouble review here. We are so excited to have not one, but two special guests. Tonight, we're going to be, of course, reviewing the episode. We have a lot going on with Davi as a mother who comes to town. Then Mariana has to dodge this weird day with Evan. And, of course, does Isaac kind of overstep the bounds with Malika and her father? Please stay tuned for the entire review. Then we're also going to be playing a fun game of Have You Been Good or Trouble? And, of course, all that juicy news and gossip. We love you guys. Introducing the one, the only, incredibly talented Emma Hunton.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you. The crowd.
So fancy.
Yes, we're so excited to talk to you about your character, Davia.
Yes.
She's got so much amazing character development going on in season 2.
I know, right? I'm really lucky. Yes,
very, very lucky. And our second special guest is the writer of tonight's episode, Rashida Brady. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brad.
Yes, I have a feeling you're going to bring all the good and all the trouble tonight.
I'm
going to
try.
All right.
I'm going to try.
And, of course, I have my other two lovely hosts. To my left, I have the unapologetic Shay Jones.
I love that always. Hey, guys. How are you?
And, of course, the beautiful Lauren, who always tells the truth.
What's up, guys?
Lauren the truth there. And I'm Dakota T. Jones. Let's dive right on in tonight's recap. A lot went down. I want to start with Davia's storyline because we have Emma here. I wanted to talk about Dennis. So he's really working this Instagram shoot for you.
He really is, you know? He's just always there for her.
I know.
Isn't that sweet? I know. I love their friendship and their relationship that's blossoming. I think they both have a lot of baggage, and they both kind of complement each other in this really weird opposites attract kind of way that, like, their baggage kind of balances out the other person's, and they're really able to be there for each other.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite things with both of your storylines is the fact that you are giving time for you both to heal and to figure things out, because we all think that there could be a possible relationship coming. If not, amazing friendship, but we see that there's, like, some sparks there. I love how the show isn't rushing into that, and that they're allowing you guys to be real and to heal and to work through your issues before jumping into anything to mask any feelings.
Totally, and I think that it's a reflection of real life when you start to have feelings for someone that you care about that is that's been a friend for a while. I think they both have a lot of things that they need to work through if it were to ever get to that point. And I think that I love that they both respect that that boundary, that they both know that it's too important of a friendship to rush into anything other than that. And they're not in a place to be in a relationship right now. They both have a lot of deep issues going on that they need to fix. And I think they're figuring out how to communicate that with someone else through each other.
Absolutely.
I mean, and there's still Jeff. I was not letting that slide today, guys.
You know, it's such a shame. I always say, like, the rudest people, like, characters on television are always played by the nicest people. And Chris Sheffield is one of them. Reagan Pasternak, who plays Bonnie, my mom, the nicest people you would ever meet in real life. And they just have to play these, like, trash characters.
Right?
Like, just douchebags.
They do so well, though, to where we're, like, on the edge of our seats, like, wanting to strangle them.
I know.
And it's so good.
I know. It's so sweet. Bonnie, after, like, every take, she would be like, think you're beautiful.
Aww,
it's
that's
like,
so
it's
sweet.
Okay, Bonnie, don't worry.
That's so funny.
I'm not taking it personally.
Well, I do want to ask you, because you got the honor of writing tonight's episode,
yes.
How was it when you were writing the scenes between Davia and her mother? Because those were very sensitive things that were being said.
Yes, mother and daughter relationships are very complicated. It's
yeah.
Like mothers know exactly what buttons to push in their daughters. Luckily, I didn't have that relationship with my mom. My mom is like my best friend.
That's awesome.
But I am now a mother, and so I know how important it is to make sure that you handle your mess, because you can put all your baggage on your kid. And so I think writing it was like, it was healing for me to recognize like why I'm in therapy, so that I don't screw up my kids. I mean, to the max, you always screw up your kid, but I don't want to pass down things that happened to me to her. And so I think it's also great just becoming a mother, because when you're a mom, you recognize, oh, my mother was like imperfect too, and it gives you compassion
mm-hmm.
and empathy, and you're like, oh, she was a person. I didn't get it. But that's
yeah.
like
we think
superhero.
Our moms are superheroes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it allows you to allow them to be messed up, because they deal with your stuff, so
mm-hmm.
you deal with their stuff. And so
wow.
I think that was the best thing that I loved about writing this episode, that Davia could recognize, now that she's becoming an adult, which is all about Good Trouble, like all of these kids are becoming young adults, she's learning, oh, my mother is a person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to take on her stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
wow.
It was hard.
No,
no
yeah.
It was hard
I
to write.
I can only imagine. But I did want to say that, Lauren, what did you think whenever we had this scene where we got the flashback that Dennis and her mother had sex previously? Because that was kind of a shock.
Yeah, that was definitely a shocker. I was just like, wow, your mom's kind of ruthless. I mean, you know, at first...
Mom's ruthless.
Yeah, at first she was pushing Davia, your character, onto Dennis. And then, you know, once you were like, I'm out of here, I'm going to bed, she was like, all right, what's up?
Right.
Just,
so,
like, grabs the upper thigh.
Right,
like,
right.
Yeah,
she went for that thigh.
Thigh.
I mean, dang.
She went for that thigh.
But I guess I was just kind of wondering if it was going to come out in the episode, and it didn't. So I was like, okay, this is kind of like a cliffhanger. Is it going to come up later on in the season when they might be ready to get a relationship? You know, like, because it's going to have to come out.
I mean, I have to tell you, when I read that he just threw it away in the trash can, I was like, she's going to find it.
Yes.
Right? She goes over to his, she goes over to his apartment every day. She's going to find it.
I know.
And I was, like, literally, like, sweating bullets, like, until we figure out the issue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was literally just like sweat. I was like, oh, is he so dumb? Why is he so dumb? She takes out his trash.
That's so
yeah.
bad. As soon as he threw it in there, I'm like, at least put it in the bottom and like put stuff on top of it.
I was like, we have shown Davia going through his trash. It is not beneath her.
Yeah.
I get why he like hit it. He didn't want Davia to see it, obviously, but a part of me was just wanted him to be like, no, take it back.
You know,
yeah.
why would I left it on the table under, like, put a plate on top
something.
Of it? Something.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he took it, so now it's in his possession, and yeah,
no.
anyone could find it.
You could have burned it.
Burn.
Can you imagine, though, like, finding out, like, when you maybe want to get in a relationship with somebody, and they're like, wait, before we do, I just have to tell you I slept with your mom.
Could you imagine?
I would be
oh
livid.
Oh, my God. I would be like,
that
well,
changes everything.
I mean, well, it was good to know you.
It was so I guess we could be friends.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know.
Barely,
maybe,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird.
Okay, see, me, I definitely might be petty. However, I legit want to be a better person and understand that I had just met you, even though I just moved into Cuttery. You only did it once, and you were drunk. You don't remember, kind of, hopefully.
It sounds good.
It sounds good, but like, feelings,
but
yeah.
like, okay, so then what happens if, like, this relationship works out and they get married, and then you got to, like, spend the wedding to your mother-in-law? You had sex with your
yeah.
mother-in-law.
That's so messy. That's, like, a whole other, like, spin-off.
That's
whole
a whole
episode.
Other television show.
Yeah,
well, we really
it.
Do want a Dennis spin-off, so we've said that.
You know, it does sound like one of those, like, telenovelas or, like some kind of a, what are those called? Soap operas. That's what it
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
Davia.
But
Davia
she,
is a soap opera.
She is. But it's weird that your mother wants you to be with Jeff, and she views Jeff as this amazing man that was almost a victim, because she's like, oh, everyone's treating him so bad back in Fitchburg, and he's just really going through it. Everyone's mad at him, and he's just the best man ever, and he loves you. Like,
I still think there is a portion of the world that still subscribes to this, you know, men make the money, women cook the food, mm-hmm. and they make the, they do the laundry and they do the cooking and the cleaning. And I think Davia's mom is like so desperate for someone to love her that she's like, you found a man who will love you. Who cares if he loves someone else behind your back? At least, like, you can present airs as if you are in love. And I think there is a fraction of the world that believes that it's better to look like you're happy than to actually be happy, because it's too much work. And I think Davia's mom, is, it's evident that she is trying to be happy. She gets plastic surgery all the time. She's picking on her daughter to avoid facing her own issues. And I think Davia, it, I don't want to say it's specific to small town, but it is very small town way of thinking. And Davia moves out of this small town and she moves to this big city and she's learning that she's not like that. And mm-hmm. that these things that she thought she cared about because that's what she was taught to care about, she no longer cares about. And she's starting for the first time, I think, to see everyone else's world outside of her own bubble. And I think especially her mom coming back to visit her makes that even more real for Davia that she's kind of an asshole.
And it's, it just breaks my heart because you still love your mother and you want to avoid hurting her the way that she's hurt you. Mm-hmm. And you'd think mentally you'd be like, I want to hurt the person who's hurt me so bad, but you still want to protect your mother.
Totally. I like Rashida, I had a really great relationship with my mom growing up, so I didn't experience what Davia went through, but I do know people and have witnessed firsthand who have gone through what Davia goes through. Mm-hmm. And it's when we're miserable with ourselves, we think that gives us license and agency over someone else's opinion of themselves. And being involved in a storyline where like someone is constantly like trying to break you down and finding the light in it and finding how to restrain yourself from hurting someone else so badly, especially because I do think Davia is a little vindictive sometimes. I think Davia does things to hurt people sometimes, mm-hmm. and it's not an admirable quality, but we all got them. And I think that's kind of where it comes from. I think it's, like I said, I think she's realizing that she doesn't, like, treat people the best sometimes. And if she makes people feel the way that her mom makes her feel, then it's, she's not really any better. Mm-hmm. So I think she instead of, I think, like, knowing that for herself is enough, than saying it out loud and making someone else feel it.
I will say this, Davi is better than me.
Davi's better than me, too.
But I get to person, I've had a conversation like that with my own mom where I just had to, like, lay it out. Like, I might love you, but I don't like you. And for my spirit, I can't be with... I can forgive you because I have to, because you gave birth to me. I have to. But I, in my spirit, I can't be here. I can't be in your presence. You're not good for me. Thank you and goodbye.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing with Davia, too, is that, like, she knows that she sees her mom, like, once a year. And it's, like, one time a year. Like, she gets to feel good, you know, like, 360 days of the year. Those other, like, that other handful of days are spent feeling like shit because she has to be around her mom. And I think that is worth it to her than to not have her mom in her life at all.
Just to, like, have, yeah. When she comes into town, she plays nice, she tries to do what she can to keep the relationship going, but it's just, it's a broken relationship. It really is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Bonnie had Davia young, and I think Davia's done a lot of the adulting. In the relationship, I think she's really had to sort of step up for her mom because I think the Bonnie we see now is probably the Bonnie that's always been there. I don't think she's changed and grown very much.
It's a miracle that Davia made it out alive.
Davia made it out of Fitchburg. But,
yeah,
and that's the conflict because we as millennials we're like it's a toxic relationship. I'm leaving, mm-hmm. but it's your only mother.
It's your only only parent.
It's your only parent. Yes, so it's like. It's not as simple as cutting it off.
Yeah.
You kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. And honestly, those type of relationships are the things that help you to have relationships in the future because you can't be with someone's only their good. You have to be able to see, can I deal with their bad? Mm. So I think her mom teaches her how to deal with people's bad and probably is helping her be able to deal with Dennis. because he is not sunshine and joy.
Yeah, right.
Not. Sunshine and joy.
But
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go.
Okay, I was going to say, whenever he decides to join them for dinner, I wasn't expecting him. I mean, we saw the teaser, so I knew he would be there. But I wasn't originally expecting him to go. I mean, if he wouldn't have watched the teaser, because he was just like, I'm not in a place for it. I don't want to come. And when he showed up, I was like, great. Someone who's like a saving grace to kind of dodge awkward conversation for Davia and kind of be there to like mellow everything out. Why do you think that he decided to just go full force in and like really make Davia uncomfortable? Was he trying to help or did he... What was going on in his head?
I think he was trying to help because she's been trying to help. A little overbearingly.
She's great at overbearing.
She's been trying to help, and I think that he actually cares, and he actually, I mean, all those sparks, that he feels them. So he's like, okay, well, I know she feels a way, and so I think he came to help, but, you know, just body positivity and all of that is such a nuanced problem that he doesn't know how to help. And so he ends up making things worse, trying to help the person that he loves, which is a thing, because it's like when you love somebody, ask them, what do you want?
What do you want?
Yeah. It's like, what do you need from me? Do you need me to come? Do you need me to just sit there? What do you need? And he doesn't know how to do that, you know, and we learned from season one that he wasn't necessarily the best father, the best husband. I think he doesn't know how to do those interpersonal relationships well. So I think that Davia and him honestly need each other to, like, learn how to do that.
Yeah, because he didn't even really try in his past relationship, but now he's learned from that, so he's grasping at whatever he can to try to help, and in this case, it ends up becoming very overbearing and comes across wrong.
It comes across as a hindrance more than a help. I think my favorite thing about Dennis even showing up is that we as an audience know that he thinks he slept with her mom, and that's already happened, you know? So he still chooses to put to potentially this whole thing blowing up in front of Davia and her finding out of her mom being weird, of anything like it, that this is, he's putting all of that potentially on the line to go make her feel more comfortable, even if it's for a couple minutes. And that's my favorite thing, that like he, someone who doesn't want to go out, does not want to talk to people, certainly doesn't want to go to this girl's dinner with her crazy mother,
yeah,
who he slept with, you know what I mean? Or thinks he slept with or whatever, but like it's my favorite thing is that he still puts all of that aside and he's like, I gotta do it for Davia.
The only saving grace that like that Davia and Dennis could ever be together is the fact that he was drunk and doesn't remember anything, and that almost makes us feel like, okay, well, he didn't mean it, or he wouldn't have done that if he would have been sober.
Yeah.
But if it was just like a sleazy hookup, I don't think Davia would be able to get over it.
Look, y'all, I can't say nothing about nothing because I know everything.
She knows all
but
the
even
secrets.
Though he was drunk, it's still like, it's still
it's
her
like
mother.
He was, yeah, but know? Also he'd been there for like a week.
And he didn't know that he was going to like her.
That's what they didn't like.
It's like that problem of dating somebody, but you probably need to see all their best friends.
First.
Yes. Yeah. Because then you see the best friend like, oh, God. Oh. I would love to get a chance, but now it's too late.
Too late.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Totally.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
We went with the wrong friend.
We dated the wrong friend. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I think I've done pretty good.
All right.
I scope out the friends.
Like
to take it back on what Emma said, I think for it's not so much about what the big things that people do for you, it's the smaller things that we should pay attention to, because the smaller things are more important for me than the big things, or the way you say is what you do and how your actions. Like, I should pay attention to what somebody says, but also don't also put all your eggs in that basket. Pay attention to what they do for you. Right. Actions.
Preach.
Yeah.
I try.
I put all my eggs in one basket all the time.
I got so many eggs in one basket. I mean, my shoulder's like down
does
here.
Anybody need eggs? Because I got it.
And they're all in one. You can find them in one place.
One basket.
Okay, so we have a question from the chat. And they want to know what it is like, or what's your favorite part about playing Davia?
Oh my God. I love that Davia has no filter. It's a very
no filter.
On point, unfiltered. I
Davia, like, literally, like, whereas I have that adult human filter that's like, you can think that, but you can't say that to someone. Davia will just say it, and she doesn't care if it's like, if you get upset about, like, and she can, like, she can not only dish it out, but she can take it really well. Like, if someone gives a zinger back to her, she's like, I'm really proud. I know that was hard for you. I'm really proud of you for that one. And I think that's, like, that's, she really does not give two craps about anyone's opinion. She's like, that's great, you can have it. It's not the right one, but you can have that. And I think that's, like, that's something nice about her. She can be a little ignorant sometimes and headstrong, which can be a negative thing, but I think my favorite thing about her is that she just has no filter. She really does not care. She, like, your opinion does not ruin her day.
I wish that I had a little bit of that. A little
me
more of that.
Too. I think I'd be a famous star by now.
Oh, Run in the chat wants to know, how did you prepare for Davia? For the role of Davia, I should say.
When I auditioned for the show, I did not have an audition for the show. I'd done a show with the EP, Bradley Bredewig, and they were auditioning girls, and he was like, we're not finding anyone. I just keep hearing your voice. Will you satisfy my curiosity and put it on tape for me? And I was like, sure. And then, like, the next day, he was like, great, you got it. We start filming next week. And I was like, what? Oh my God. And I was living in New York at the time, so I was like, okay, I'll be right there. And, like, I just packed it. Like, there was no time to get into it. I just kind of had to throw everything. And I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I mean, honestly, if you ask anyone there for the first five episodes, I was walking. Like, any time, like, an executive producer walked up to me, I was like, this is it. This is where they fire you. We called the wrong girl. For the first five episodes of the first season, I really did not think I was hacking it, and I did not know what I was doing. So then I had to have a come to Jesus moment with myself where I was like, well, it's cheaper for them to keep you than it is to fire you. So all you can do is your best, and that's got to be good enough. After sitting down and really thinking about, like, who is this person, what is she, where does she come from, I caught on to the Dennis stuff really quickly. I just, for whatever reason, I clocked it, like, super. I think even before they knew that it was happening, really? I was like, this is happening. Oh, yeah. I clocked it in the first episode, and I sent it to Bradley, and he was like, I did too. Oh. It's preparing for Davi. She's, like, so much a part of me, and I get so protective of her. Like, people can tell me I'm trash, and I'll be like, yeah, whatever, of course I'm trash. But, like, if someone calls Davia trash, I'm like, that is my girl. Yeah. You don't talk trash about my girl. So, yeah, I'd be preparing for Davia is just, like,
having your friends back.
Rashida and Ashley and Joanne, like, everyone on our writing team is so great at, like, writing for us and how people talk. It's like, it's so easy to get into it and to fall into it because these people talk how we talk. And it's like, I mean, honestly, I could look at my lines 10 minutes before I go on camera and they'd be there because it's the way we all talk to each other. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of prepping for Davia. It's just kind of like, if anything, letting go a little bit more of my own personality under the guise of, like, well, I had to say it. It was written.
Yeah. Right. I love that.
I was just improvising.
Well, the scene where Dennis follows you into your room and grazes your back. Okay, so, but that entire scene where he's just, like, really there for you.
Yeah.
You know, he apologizes for coming off wrong, but you can tell he really does care. He embraces you, and it just makes sense.
I know. It's so great. Cute. I mean, I love that. I love the moment where he hugs me and then I, like, feel him feel my Spanx and I get insecure about it. And I, like, I don't know. I'd say that Laura really did. Laura Nisbet Peters directed the episode and she really, really killed it. And she really was, like, the day that we filmed that on set, it was, like, the last scene of, like, a, like, 13-hour day. Like, it was long. We were getting out of there really late. And she was like, what do you need? How can I help you get through this? And I was like, let's just do it a bunch of times until it's, like, exhausting. Because, like, the thing is like, for me, once I get into that place, once I turn it on, it doesn't. I'm like, I'm a mess. I'm like, I can't stop crying. We really, like, and Rashida, we all just, like, we're very careful about what are the moments that what's making her insecure, because it's not her body. Is it her letting her emotions out of being vulnerable? And then someone, like, I think for the first time, Dennis is the first person to make Davia not
be uncomfortable in her body or hate her body, but just be very aware of her body. And I think that's something that she's never thought of before. I don't think she, I mean, since she probably had an eating disorder, she doesn't think about her body because she loves it. So I think this is the first time, and I think that's really weird for her. She's like, why do you make me feel weird about my body? Like, of all the people who could. And I think it's, that scene was really hard and really, really, like, therapeutic in a really wonderful way.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like... I think there's this stigma when you're a bigger girl or plus size that you feel badly about yourself. And I think that the most infuriating thing is when someone decides how you feel. And people putting words and emotions in your mouth or in your heart or in your head. And I think that that is the big crux of that scene, is that it's like, you can't... I know what my coping mechanisms are. I know how to do this. I've lived with it my whole life. You can't come in and throw a cog into the machine and expect it to work. It's I have my methods, I have my reasons, and just because I give into those and I have this cheat guide to this doesn't mean that I don't feel proud of my body. It's just a freaking hassle.
Yeah,
like it's a hassle.
Yeah. It's amazing how you can feel one way and then other people try to come in, like you said, and tell you how
you feel. You're like, stop deciding that this isn't an upsetting thing. It's not upsetting to me that I'm fat. It's upsetting that you think I'm upset. Mm. Like, that's what's upsetting. It's like, stop deciding. It's not a sad thing to be fat. It's like, and it's so exhausting. People are exhausting.
People are exhausting. I mean, people have opinions no matter what, but the fact is it just keeps coming down to the fact that it's your mother.
Yeah.
And she should be the one empowering you and raising you up.
Yeah.
And
you'd be surprised at how many tweets I got today from people saying this is the relationship I have with my mom, which just breaks my heart. Because I was lucky to not have that relationship with my mom, but I know a lot of people don't. A lot of people have that weird, like you said, mother and daughter relationships are the most interesting relationship you'll ever be in. And I think that it breaks my heart. So if you have a parent who doesn't support your beautiful body, I think you're perfect.
Aww. It's crazy how this episode really showed your relationship, or Dobby's relationship with her mother, and then it showed Malika's flourishing coming of age relationship with her father.
Yes.
And so how was it kind of getting to write one of the first big episodes that we really get to see Malika and her father bonding?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was therapeutic for me because I had that relationship with my dad. My dad is, and I are complicated. It wasn't bad. It was just very complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of black families have that relationships with their father, where it's just complicated. And we don't necessarily get the chance to just throw people away in black community. No. Mm-mm. And also understanding just the stigma and the heartache that it is for a black man. So I like the complicatedness of her dad and her having to, again, grow up like Davia had to grow up and recognize her mom wasn't a superhero and recognize that her dad is a black man in America. And I'm sorry, but America separates black families. They do.
Yep.
And they don't. They do. So she has to understand that who he is and what he came up against, and that it's not about her, it's not personal. And I think that is what I love about the show, that so many of our characters get to grow up and just recognize, yeah, my dad was gone, but he wouldn't have been gone necessarily. It's just all very complicated. So I loved that episode with Malika and her father, because she wasn't, the normal thing is like have her screaming at her dad like, you weren't there. But sometimes you're just like, I get it. What can we do now?
Yeah.
How can we move forward?
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's just that simple. It's not, like, I understand why you weren't there because you just told me. But I'm also a grown woman now, so I can see it and understand it and feel it. And when you get to where Malika is just like, I lost my mom. You're what's left, and I hope we can have a relationship. I hope we can move forward. I hope you're the person you're going to be in my life that I want you to be. I hope you won't disappoint me. Life's funny.
Yeah. And Malika has been through so much that this isn't going to break her.
No.
You know?
No. I mean, at this point, she's gone through so much that she just wants some connection with her father.
Happy.
And so, right.
And it's him. It's on him because she's good. Either way, it's like it's really on him. I love the guy, the actor who plays Joseph too. Mm-hmm. He's just that they're so good. Everyone's so good.
I wouldn't pick anyone to play anyone differently.
I think my favorite scene is Joseph and Isaac.
That was
so good.
And it was great. I don't know if I can say this, but Sharonis Jackson came to me and was like, "How do I feel about her father?" And I gave him one sentence. I said, "You understand."
Wow.
And that's what came out.
Yeah.
It was perfect because he was like, "I'm like, you're a black man. You know what it's like to grow up in this, in America.
Ugh.
That's what you feel." And he's like, "Oh, I got it." And he went in, and they just connected so well. And I'm like,
tearing up.
That's it!
You know, when we were watching it...
It doesn't take much.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, when we were watching it, I actually tapped you on the shoulder, and I was like, I have a feeling he's going to give Joseph the money. And you were like, really? I'm like, I just feel it. And then he did, but the plot twist was, it actually wasn't his money.
I love that plot twist!
It was Malika's money.
Malika's sneaky.
She is. And I was very surprised. I will definitely say I was surprised. I definitely thought Isaac was going in there trying to like be like, look, you know, you don't want to start the relationship off rocky, so let me help you out. Don't take Malika's money. And then she calls him. I'm like, what is going on? So I mean, is it because of pride? You know, like why did Malika do it that way?
Well, you know, black women, we want to save our men. And they do not want us to do it. They're like, stop, I got it. And that's why Isaac says to her, let him be there for you. Because she's so used to taking care of everything, which black women can totally relate to. Like, we want to take care of everybody because we feel like we can. And it's where the whole thing that we're so strong that we can literally endure childbirth with no medication, but that's a whole other subject. But it's just...
You have that.
Yes. That's a whole other story. But she just... her strength kind of infiltrates everything. And Isaac is like, let him take care of you. Because I think in doing that, we do a disservice to our men because they are capable. And when we step in and we do too much, then it makes them feel less than. It makes them feel like the rest of America makes them feel. And so her doing that was bad. She should not have had her man pretend like it was his money. And just kind of make her dad feel like that in front of Isaac. Because he's been taking care of himself. You know, and that's why Isaac told her, like, listen, you just got on the scene. He's been living in his apartment without you, and I think she overstepped. And Isaac's love for her was like, okay, I'm going to do it for her, but essentially she overstepped.
Yeah, I agree. I think she overstepped too. But I definitely think just Isaac being a part of it, it shows how much he really does care about her.
Yeah.
And how much do you love seeing them?
I love them together. Oh my gosh, so I love them. They're the best, you guys.
They're like mom and dad on set.
No, when he walked into the scene, I looked at Lauren. I was just like, can I have that for Christmas?
She did say that. I gotta say, he's just the nicest person too. I mean, I know it probably we sound crazy when we say this, but like. Every single person on that set is a rock star. Like, everyone is so cool. But, like, I mean, and everybody's just a nice person. Sharonis, though, like, sets the bar. Like, how to behave on set, how to treat people on set, like, how to be, like, cool and professional and, like, still do your job. Like, he's just a really great guy. And, like, him and Zuri's friendship, like, off screen, like, carries over so well on screen to their relationship. They're, like, endgame for me. I love Isaac and Malika. I want them to always stay together.
Yeah. If there's one couple that I'm like, this is solid, this is endgame, it's them.
Everyone else is a little too unpredictable.
Exactly. Well, we have to, like, kind of go through this next section a little quickly so that way we can get on to the game and the news and gossip. But I did want to talk about briefly how Mariana and Evan, that whole situation's very awkward. Raj kind of gets kicked out of the team a little bit because the ladies find out that Raj and Mariana are seeing each other. His feelings are hurt, but he's just afraid that Evan is going to swoop in and try to save the day. He obviously paid up the $10,000. Mm-hmm. So he feels like maybe in his mind that Mariana owes him a date because he really did her a favor.
Okay. This is, because we saw the promo, this is the only reason why I think that's not way. I feel like he's comfortable with Mariana. He wants to get her opinion of how he can date maybe somebody else that is not Mariana.
Really?
Because the way he was just ear hustling that conversation with the guys, he's trying to be normal or trying to normalize his actions and words to connect with other people. So that's why I think he's asking Mariana for it.
I completely agree.
And this is why, because
oh my god, I'm breaking everything.
No, Mariana put her hand on Evan, and obviously she is in a relationship with Raj. I don't think she would do that. You know how these teasers love to get us? Right. And then we watch her like, that's what really happened. So I agree with you. I agree with your theory.
Cool. Okay. Yay. All right. Well, I mean, he asked her for a drink. They're there. We're going to find out all of that next week, and I cannot wait.
Especially that SmackDown.
Yeah.
Time. Alex, what's up? I'm here.
Oh, I know. I've been waiting for that for a season and a half.
Raj really has, like, had so much development. He used to be this shy guy that, like, oh, no, I'm not going to
say anything. Raj.
He's so good.
I think he has potential to get into, like, clingy territory, but I love Raj.
Don't we all have potential to get into clingy territory?
Not me.
Not you?
Luke. I got things to do.
Okay. All right.
I mean, she cleaned up anyway. She got the ring.
Not today, but yes, totally. I'm a bad wife.
That's so funny. Well, will it be good or trouble? We have no idea, but it's time to play Have You Been Good or Trouble?
Both.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So, guys, today's question of Have You Been Good or Trouble, Davia still keeping an olive branch with Jeff when something might be happening with Dennis. Is that going to be good or is that going to be trouble?
All right, guys.
I'm going to preface this, a disclaimer, that I am not saying good or trouble in regards to what any information I may or may not have in the show. Okay. I'm going to answer these as Emma would.
Okay.
And so I think that's Trava.
Two, three.
Boom. The trouble all the way around.
Trava.
All right. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory.
You want to explain?
I mean, I think everyone gets it. It's just, you can't hold on to a toxic man. I mean, he cheated on his wife, so what makes you think that he wouldn't do the same thing?
How you get him, how you lose him. And I think it just goes to show how badly Davia needs to be needed. Mm. That she can't let go of Jeff because she's not entirely sure Dennis needs her, so that if he goes away, she's still got someone there.
And she's definitely accepting the love that she thinks she deserves.
Oh, totally. 100%.
Also, Sven holds Tarzan.
Yes.
Rope swinging. You hold one rope just in case the other one is not there. That's very human and 20.
Totally.
You're like,
totally.
I do not want to go through the pain of having to get over somebody. So let me just have somebody else in the background that can distract me.
Yeah.
Okay, tell her how it is.
I think that was 20. Yeah. I'm 34.
You've learned.
You live and you learn. That's how life works.
That's right.
So guys, how you win one of these amazing paddles is, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, don't forget to like, and then in our comment section, write 5 stars. Tell us what you love about the show. You think how we're doing. We love your opinions. They're just amazing. But if you're listening to us right now on iTunes, leave us a 5-star, give us 5 stars and leave a review so that I know you're entering the contest. Also, please add your social media, because if you don't, I can't find you. I can't mail you things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mail this with my monies.
So drop us the link to your Instagram so we can get a hold of you, please.
Just know it's international shipping. I'm sorry.
Yes, but
one more time.
All the cast members and crew members who come in this season are going to be signing these paddles.
Yeah.
So you will win a signed cast paddle. Last season we had a lot of signatures on there.
We had 10 or 30. Oh, wait, we had 12 actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lucky people. Yes, I wish I could have kept the paddle.
Okay. Yeah, him and Taylor tried to fight for
it. Why wasn't that an option?
Because we had to give it to the people.
All right, the people. The fans.
Give the people what they want.
Exactly, exactly. Well, truth has it that Lauren, the truth, has a little news and gossip.
I do. So, our first pizza news, we were actually introduced to a new character. Juan Antonio, who plays the attorney at Callie's new place of work. Mm. So he's actually going to be he's going to be reoccurring on season two, along with Shantae. We didn't get to see her in this episode, but she's going to be playing a smart, charismatic single mother who is facing potential eviction from her apartment building. Ooh. So this will be kind of interesting since Malika's dad, you know, got hit with the eviction and he was like went ballistic on her for sending that letter. So now let's see how he reacts to this person who I feel like they may have some type of connection.
Ooh, a little prediction there.
Yeah, I like that. A little prediction. And then also our next piece of news is about Haley? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so she also plays in Pose. I don't know if you guys watch it. That's on FX. It's an amazing show. But she basically did an article talking about how Good Trouble and Pose are enriching the representation of very transgender storylines, presenting the world with fleshed out three-dimensional characters and not just the stereotyped characters or punchlines. It is a sincere effort to visualize and vocalize life stories.
Yeah.
And since I watched both shows, I can definitely say yes.
Oh, yeah.
So if you don't watch Pose, you should definitely watch it. She gets some good camera time in there, too. And she is now a co-house mother. So go check that out. And then, dun-dun-dun-dun, I have some fun facts about our very own Emma here.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So, Emma is the first female to play the role of Ryan in a musical, Witness Uganda.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then you also hold the record of the youngest Elphaba in the stage production of Wicked.
I do.
Wow.
I do.
So, those are two title. Major accomplishments.
I know, right? I sometimes I laugh. Like, I think back. Like, I was filling out a bio for a show I'm doing currently, and I was, like, writing down my credits, and I was like, I need to, like, be easier on myself, because these are, like, really cool credits, and they're badass, and I, like, and yeah. I look at them, and, like, I had to laugh out loud. I was like, you all right.
You really
you
have done
definitely, you're more than all right. So yeah, I was looking at your credits, too. I was like, yes, you go,
like,
girl.
Peaked at 27.
Wait, so do you know how many shows you did as Elphaba?
Oh, God. I was there for 13 months.
Wow.
So, I mean, I have no idea.
A lot.
The thing is, that show was almost impossible. So I would sometimes do 9 shows a week, but that show is almost impossible to do 8 times a week. They encourage you to call out every couple weeks.
Really?
Just because even if they're like, my stage manager said, like, even if you feel like you're fine, just do it. He's like, that's the time when you want to, so you don't push past. He's like, because if you feel like you're fine, you do one more show, we'll be out for 3 shows. So yeah. It really is like, I mean, the first like 3 months of doing that show are really figuring out like what's the formula,
and what's the limit
what
to your
works.
Voice,
yeah.
Your body.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, it's sometimes 8 shows a week were hard, but sometimes 9 shows a week were easy, and it just depended on the climate, and doing it on tour was the hardest, I think, than doing it in New York.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I do want to ask you, Rashida, before we leave, do you have any upcoming projects that you want to plug? Anything you're working on or future goals? Anything? I put you on the spot. I'm sorry.
I am always writing. Yeah. We will see what studios cling to. They have not clung. They have not clung yet, but I can guarantee it's going to be epic.
That's exciting. Yes,
I feel once it. They cling to it, it will be epic, I promise.
I feel it. I feel it.
But right now, I'm not at... I have nothing to say exactly.
Put it out in the universe.
Yes, like, it's all in the universe.
We're manifesting it real quick. Yeah,
I receive it.
There you go. That's amazing. Thank you both so much for coming
Thank
in.
You
Thank
for
you for having
us.
Yes, we love you guys coming in. It's going to be so much fun to see where Davia's storyline goes.
I know,
Dennis,
right?
And everything else. And hashtag no filter, guys.
Hashtag no filter.
Where can everyone find you on social media?
Everything is at Emma Hunton.
All right.
And she's directing a play. You have to check out A League of Their Own at Rockwell Table and Sage. She's doing her first directorial
debut.
And it's going to be awesome because she
it's going to be amazing.
Is flying.
Come check it out. I will be there watching.
I'll be there too.
Yes.
And Rashida, where can everyone find you on social media?
So. I am not on Twitter, but I'm on everything else as at Rashida B, R-E-S-H-E-I-D-A-B.
All yeah. right, and make sure to check out Lauren the Truth at...
Lauren the Truth! You said
yes.
it!
Yes!
Oh, you guys can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget to check out Family Reunion After Show coming soon. And on Mondays, I do The Grand Hotel. And it is a telenovela that I'm here for, okay?
Okay. Yes.
All right. And you guys can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones. Someone's watching tonight and they know who they are. How's it going?
Oh.
Bye, guys. Oh. We will get into some good trouble with you next week.
Ooh.
Bye.
Oh, and we have a guest next week. So, tune in.
All right, tune in.
I wouldn't know who. I bet I know.
I'll tell you after.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.